This is Radiophiles, a showcase and analysis of productions from the international radio art network, Radia. Today we visit founding member Resonance FM in London, in Great Britain.
My name is Ed Baxter and I'm called the Chief Executive Officer of Resonance FM, not a title I dreamt up or would ever use, but which seems to be applied in order to give me a kind of gravitas with funding bodies that I don't actually possess. I'm the licensee, actually, of the radio station, and I do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, ranging from raising money to paying bills to scheduling the content of Resonance FM, all the activities that don't involve making a sound and broadcasting. Resonance has, from the outset, relied on persuading people to be autonomous in their broadcast activities. So the frightening figure at the front end of the process is that something like 65 people have keys to the building. Three of us seem to clean the toilet. A couple of people put the bins out. Everybody buys tea bags and milk. 20 people do technical work of one kind or another under the direction of Sarah Nicol, who's the general manager. About 105 programs are manned by about 160 individuals, and those individuals find the guests, do the broadcasting, perform, get freebies, raise money, bring their outside life into the broadcast space. A lot of my work is to get permissions sorted out. That might be a way of looking at it. I enable the environment to be unproblematic so that people can come in and know what they're allowed to do and then get on with it, actually. And then other people enable them to create a broadcast to the cliché is the highest possible standards. They may not be standards shared by other radio stations. Our methodology is to show somebody how to lift up a fader and speak into a microphone, and you take it from there. Everything else is nuance. I think the easiest way to learn is to do it and make lots of mistakes. And we always say to people, ask as many stupid questions as you like. We don't have the time to teach people, actually, and they have to learn themselves. And it's like learning to swim in 1966. You're all lined up at the deep end of the pool and pushed into the water.
Can you, in three sentences, give a trajectory?
Probably not, but let's think. Naivety and chaos, that would be the beginning. The middle bit, well, I think we're still in the middle bit. Middle bit is people generally settling into a groove. And then the latter part is trying to think how to refresh things without throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That's as big a problem as setting the whole thing up, actually. And our solution in the last 18 months has been to set up another broadcast platform, Resonance Extra, and to think that after 15 years, it's time people retired. I remember when we started the London Musicians Collective as the licensee, there was an idea that you could have 24 hours a day of free jazz, and that would have been kind of all right, but I think it would have become very monotonous and predictable very rapidly, and it seemed that the facility in central London required a very broad-minded outlook to the point where, you know, before it even gone on air, having people like Harry Haywood, the East End gangster, come and say, give me a show, I'll break your legs, and then having a show that is kind of local politics. That had nothing to do with, you know, people's musical interests, but there's enough room in the schedule to allow for things like that. Somewhere in the theoretical side of it, probably prompted by Phil England, somebody had said that radio was like, I'm paraphrasing, it's called an articulation of the entire human mind. And that's a kind of cute idea, isn't it? Influence, it was up for grabs, really, wasn't it, as a medium. So in England or Great Britain, listeners around the other parts of the world wouldn't understand that there was extremely limited access to radio by artists of any description, even more limited access than there was to television. And so we just provided a resource, some facilities for people to go mad with. And lots of very intelligent people got involved immediately. And then the nature of the technology allows for collaborations and collisions and things that start out by accident and end up on purpose, to misquote Cornelius Cardew. We're still interested in this idea of a linear, fugitive, partly accidental audio event rather than discrete audio objects, which seem to me to be, without sounding sort of mystical, it seems that the digital objects are trying to find hosts to realise themselves. But, of course, the impact of technologies is impossible to resist, so that the whole suppositions about how you distribute and consume audio have changed entirely. And I suppose the one thing that we would claim to do is to have a unique and idiosyncratic attitude towards the creation of audio culture. Sounds terribly pompous, but I think we're doing something that nobody else is doing. When other people start to do it, we start to move away from it. We're lucky to have contributors who have, you know, real depth of experience. When they talk about stuff, you know, 9 times out of 10 cases, it's because they actually know about this, not that they read about it in a press release or are cheerleaders for some sort of ideological position. It's because they've lived through certain experiences and they're kind of eager to share their knowledge. The juxtaposition of these different people from different generations and the fact they meet in this analog art space, kind of old-fashioned art space in many ways, is the one of the most important things about resonance.
Time to introduce the artist behind today's featured radio show. If only he could remember his name.
Zentos Frebentos, of, I don't know, the Arcadian Empire, I suppose. That covers it. Right.
And what do you do?
What do I do? I don't know. It's as little as possible, as usual. You know? I mean, the programs were made in a real hurry, so I couldn't help but notice the structure was somewhat flawed. I mean, it was following a plan because the structure of the piece is meant to be an echo of this sense of small villages and isolation. So it's a very broken show, constantly interrupted with bits of sound and mutated music. But yeah, I mean, these things are done very quickly, so if I had weeks to work on them, rather than sort of fitting them in between life, you know, it'd be nice, you know, you'll have that sense. I'm into constructions. I like that idea that I like perfection and things, you know, it's really nice. But I think it's one of the things doing sort of radio on very small budgets and on against time pressures. On one hand, you don't get that sort of polished result, but maybe I can see the sort of the attraction of that rawness as well. This is perhaps not a bad thing. And a lot of live radio has that thrown together appeal, and it's an immediacy, isn't it? That's always welcome. Most of the shows I was doing were script driven. So, I mean, it adds an extra layer to things, doesn't it? Scripting a show, recording, gathering, willing participants, actors, non-actors, those that work with non-actors, and then shoehorning them into various spaces and recording. It's just time consuming, that's the thing.
How did you find the people? There's a lot of voices on there.
There's quite a few voices, and at the time I was teaching film and video a couple of days a week in Lewisham College in South London. I had a sort of ruthlessly international class. I sort of gotten to know all these students. It was like I'd been teaching them for a year and a half, so we took good friendships, and I knew a bit about their backgrounds and things. So you could call it putting words in their mouths, but there was a kind of thematic sort of link to their lives and things, and they enjoyed the whole process. So.
Do you remember where the idea came from for the theme for small villages?
Oh yeah, very much so. It was through looking at Fox News. I really wanted to a sort of sardonic parody of this kind of haranguing they do on that show. So that sort of gave me the basic idea, and the sort of structure fell in place. I mean, there is a truth to that in the start of the show. I'm sort of mentioning, that demographic fact that we do know so few people. I sometimes wonder how the whole societal global thing works, because we never get to meet all these people in power. What are those interactions and those power exchanges? Well, you can explore those, but this is essentially what the program's about, that they can be so easily exploited because of those lack of links. In many cases, I think that newspapers and followed by radio, the devices that created a sense of nationality in people, for good or ill, they sort of helped build nation states, because you could have a unified voice, so to speak, and a shared sort of voice, which is one of the nice things about radio, but also one of the terrifying things, and it's how you kind of use that landscape and things. So I guess this show was really a rebuff, kind of a warning to history, if you like. I mean, that's like a strand, what I'm describing. It's probably a main strand, because I do, very quietly get really angry about these right-wing evil and bankers and ripping us all off, and how they're destroying this planet and, wrecking people just without any restraint, it seems. I'm quietly furious about that. But at the same time, I never like to say one thing. I think it's a waste of your speech, in a sense. If you've got a platform like radio, I've got no problem with saying 10 things at once.
And now, radio show number 58, Small Villages by Zentos Frey Bentos for Resonance FM.
Hello, how do you do? This is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Artists, get on with it.
Hello. This show, what you is about to hear, is all about small villages. Before it starts, I want you to do something for me. First, I want you to count all your really close friends. Go on, count them up. Remember the number. Next, I want you to count all your other friends. People you work with or hang out with, but aren't what you'd call really close. Okay? Remember that number as well. Lastly, I want you to count up everyone else, people you know, but only enough to say hello or horrible day, isn't it? People like your next door neighbor or your mother. Add them all together. I guarantee for most of you it won't come to any more than 200 or 300 people at the max. Now, that's more or less the population of a small village. Can you see where I'm going with this? Even if the people you know are spread out, geographically dispersed rather than living right next door, you can still see why it's fair to say we all live in a small village. We all live in a small village.
New tunes, white labels, you haven't heard none of this. New tunes, white labels, you haven't heard none of this.
Right, I come from a small village, right? Small village, and you know, the thing is, it's that I and you know, when I say small village, I'm you know.
Villages. Pah. I know I shouldn't, but I really get annoyed when people start yakking on about small villages. It's worse than talking about washing machines, spin cycles, or the colour of coffee grounds. It's not interesting. I mean, it's all right if you're a pink-haired soothsayer or a superstitious football manager, but for the rest of us, it's just tedious. Tedious! Tedious! Tedious!
I like to listen to stories about the big city. The city, as it stands, is much maligned, whereas I believe we should celebrate the fact that so many people can stand together in so much heat. You there! Tell me one of your big, big city stories.
I can't help you. I only have a small big city story.
That's not good enough. Go and stand in the corner. Go and stand on that shit. I don't know. You just can't get the help these days. Wait! Here comes a likely candidate! My, he's one ugly bastard. I'll bet you 10 euros his mother was an improviser and his father was a Scandinavian troll. You there! Stop picking at your warts! Didn't they teach you anything at finishing school?
Sorry, miss.
We don't want your stupid apologies. All we need from you, fellow milad, is one of these big, big city stories. I want to smell the skyscrapers. Hear the squeals of the taxi drivers. See the glittering frenzy of neon burst over my senses like a bag of sensimilia. Tell us your story, and don't spare the horses.
I come from a small village. I'll be honest with you, I hate small villages. The people who live in small villages stink. You twats from the big city have stupid idea that it's neighbourly in a small village. Everyone keeps an eye on everybody else. Borrow a cup of sugar? Shall I pull those fleas off your dog? It's all crap. People aren't neighbourly in small villages. They're just nosy, poking their fat beaks into everybody's business. I hate them.
You don't really hate them.
Yes, I do. I really hate them. Let me explain why. I'll give you an example. I was round the back of the bike sheds giving the local plumber a blowjob. Next thing, the whole village knew about it. They were up in arms. He's a married man with three kids, they said. So what? I said. I wasn't proposing to him, just providing a service. Anyway, I know how they found out. It was Deirdre Jackson's little sister. They call her the human flea. Once she takes an interest in you, she follows you around like a bloodsucker. It's revolting. She latched onto me and I couldn't shake the little shit off. No doubt, when I was round behind the bike sheds, she was up a tree watching. Dave the plumber, poor bloke. He had to leave the village after that. And that is small villages for you, shitholes. Dave went into cabaret in Whitstable. All because of those villagers. I hate them.
I love small villages. I love setting fire to the pretty cottages and watching the pretty flames.
With people she'd hate. She never bothered. With people she'd hate.
But seeing as everyone else is talking about small villages, I mean, seeing as everyone else is, why should I be any different? I hate being different. I hate standing out from the crowd, being the one person being pointed at by the pointy finger, or at school when they make you stand up in front of the whole class and make you explain why you brought that automatic weapon to school which they found in an illegal search of your locker. When they found the handguns and the hunting rifle as well, they even took the knife I got off David Bowie. I mean, what is this? A police state? Just that I don't like being singled out. So why should I be any different? Why shouldn't I talk about small villages? It's all anyone else seems to be talking about these days. Even if it is tiresome and unbelievably tedious. Shall I spell that for you? T-E-D-I-O-U-S-A. U-S-A. U-S-A. U-S-A.
Thank you.
I might as well tell you about my village, which was a really, really, really small village. Think of a small village, halve it, and then quarter that. That's how small it was. Very small. My village can be found to this very day, perched low in the high foothills. You can walk there in sensible boots and climbing shorts, but it's much easier in a tank. The other good thing about driving there in a tank is that, well, this is slightly embarrassing. But you see, some of the villagers are a bit, you know, trigger happy. Not all the time, mind. It's no Iraq. Or what's that other place they do all the killing? Birmingham. Yeah, it's not a war zone. But you see, once in a blue Monday, one or t'other of our villagers will take a pot shot at a passing tourist. The local police chief gets hopping mad, hops on his police issue bicycle and rides round the village raising hell, which doesn't take long for him to get around, I mean, because it is a very, very small village. The reason he gets so angry, I think, is that he says shooting tourists is bad for business. He says it's like bombs in Bali or London. Everyone just stops going. But after all, what does a stupid fat copper know? Police the world over are famous for two things. One, their unthinking brutality, and two, their complete and utter ignorance of local conditions. Anyway, in my experience, some people like being shot. Take those American presidents. They made a career out of it. It's the same with tourists. They live for the flare of danger in their tourist nostrils. That's probably why they come to our small village in the first place.
Listen clearly now.
In the small villages across the world, the cows are becoming more like people. The people are becoming like sheeps. Sheeps, not chips, sheeps. The sheeps are wearing sheepskin jacket. The potatoes are left rotting in the ground. It makes me so sad.
I have no problem with small villages. Everyone living in small village is crazy.
I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you about the rather small village where I was born and raised. It was perched high in the foothills where the precipitation is enough to make you weep.
Just a moment, Hugh. It wasn't a small village. It was a medium-sized village.
Shut up, you. Legend has it that our little village was the scene of some wrongdoings long ago, back in the Dark Ages. When were the Dark Ages? I don't know. It's a small village. And we ain't rightly privileged to that level of detail. One of the advantages of small villages is that everyone else knows everyone's business, and everyone knows everyone else's business. My mother Ethel was very good at getting in underneath people's bed. She was only a skinny thing, like an animated garden rake. She'd crawl in under their beds with her Ferguson tape recorder and tape them at it. In small villages, they go at it like rabbits at an orgy. It ain't like you impotent city folk, with your tiny shrunken testicle and amphibious libido. You wouldn't last 2 minutes in a small village.
White label, you haven't heard none of this.
Think as a small Silesian village. In Silesia, all villages are big villages. This is in Silesian language. Я тебе забью, как будешь спал. Помню, что я тебе знаю, да, и тебе забью, а за ним пойдешь на шихта.
Come from a small village. If you gaze up into the foothills, look over to the left, yep, bit more to the left, that's it, just past the barbed wire of the boot camp. If you look to the left, you'll see us, perched on high, a regular eagle's nest. My village is famous for two things, besides being small. The first is the complete absence of milk. And the second is, incredibly, the complete absence of people. The first isn't really much of a problem. Who needs milk? Apart from certain men who suffer from infantile regressive disease, men fixated on the tit. You know the type. They generally have big offices, play the saxophone, or run art galleries. The Vietnamese have a special word for milk drinkers. They call them Chuan Wang Lok, which means literally still attached to the nipple. But you don't need milk, really you don't, and you won't miss it once it's gone. There are many simply wonderful herb teas on the market, and adding milk would ruin them. Of course, I'm not saying there aren't bad ones as well, but a good herb tea will put hairs on your chest.
Who is it?
Hello there, I'm your new neighbor.
Hey,
The other notable feature of our village is the absence of people. Ooh. It's creepy at first, being born in a village where there's no one about. No one to tend to the milkless cows or the dried-up sheep. No one to nail menacing notes to your front door or stuff burning paraffin rags through your letterbox. But once you get used to it, life goes on. And there are benefits. Where else but in a deserted village could you walk down the middle of the high road at 3 a.m. in the morning and scream the top of your head off? Well, apart from the big city. Shitholes, aren't they? Cities. I've never come across a deserted city, but I suppose Nagasaki was one. After those sadistic Americans dropped that terrible bomb.
What sound would you find in a typical small village? I have a theory that they all sound the same. Listen to this. Szła dzieweczka do laseczka, do zielonego. Uhuhu, do zielonego. Uhuhu. Szła dzieweczka do laseczka, do zielonego. Uhuhu, do zielonego. Uhuhu. Szła dzieweczka do laseczka, do zielonego.
Never bothered with people she'd hate. He never bothered with people she'd hate. She never bothered with people she'd hate.
You know what I mean?
People she hates.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
People she hates.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
People she hates.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? I'm sick up to here hearing about small villages. Can somebody please explain to me why I should give a monkey's... fringe whether a village is big or small? I looked it up. Looked it up in a big book in the library where the word village comes from. The first part, vil, is from ancient Lithuanian and means dirty place. The second part, ledge, is Danish gesprochen. In the old Danish tongue, it meant inhabited by lazy people. So if you put the two words together, vil and lage, to form the modern word village, the meaning is clear. Dirty place inhabited by lazy people. I'd say that's pretty accurate. We all know what goes on in those small villages behind closed doors. Filthy animals. No wonder they all wear neckties to funerals and bathe in salt water. Most of them are probably active Freemasons and eat baby sprouts. Even the Bible, which in my all too often ignored opinion, is easily the worst book ever written after all the novels by Geoffrey Archer, and that even worse Islamic one, even the Holy Bible states...
Deuteronomy, verse 10, chapter 18.
Even the Bible states...
New tunes, white labels, you haven't heard none of this.
Does the Bible really say that?
Oh yes, new tunes, white labels. But if anyone asks, you haven't heard none of this.
So that there was one of them shows all about them there small villages.
villages, yeah? And if you didn't pick up on that fact in the course of the show, there's not a lot that we can do for you. So round about now, it's time to do the big thank you thing. So Larry, give me that goddamn list! So thank you to Miss Wonderful, Bridget Bennett, and the marvelous Mr. Kevin Rule, and our other special guests, Mr. Mark Miller, Mary Hager, Miss Agatha Bogatska, and Colin Yerdy Jaeger, and Mr. Navid Himani. Thank you all. Small villages, yeah. Don't you just love them?
End of transmission.
Find us on the internet, radio.fm. Over and out.
If you imagine sort of radio as a kind of, as a ball, you can kind of endlessly peel back and unfurl and reveal other colours and textures and ideas. And I love the idea that there's no end to it. You know, it's not this, you know, I mean, there's, of course, there's that lovely purpose for just kind of traffic news or, you know, music radio and the main uses of radio, but it's still a kind of medium that is sitting there waiting to be explored. You know, there's so much you can do. I mean, you know, once you sort of add the sort of tradition with the contemporary and technology and ideas, you know, it's a very... It's always a kind of most wonderful medium, most flexible of mediums, which is very nice. And again, I always think it's that magical immediacy it has. I mean, because you know, something like using that sense, the ear, and sort of listening to something that, you know, it leaves a lot of space, doesn't it, inside your head that can be, you know, if it's occupied with image, that's one thing, but your attention is demand in a certain way, but you can actually have much more of a dialogue with listening to radio, and, you know, and enjoy all the kind of ideas coming up. The variety is what's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, what is radio? It's what you want it to be, surely, you know, whoever you are, you know, provided it does no harm, you know.
Yeah, maybe I should retire and do some academic research, but that's... We all know that's really boring, don't we, kids?
Well, maybe we should get on air more.
Well, maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, what could it be called? It'd be kind of pompous hour with Ed Baxter. Yeah, well, I interview myself. Well, don't interrupt me.
Radiophiles is a mobile radio production for Documenta 14 with support from Goethe Institute. For more information, visit mobile-radio.net.